Hello and welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex. It's a podcast from metro.co.uk.
It's a bit like school summer holidays, but we refuse to let you break up.
He's such a stalker. My name's Miranda Kane.
I'm Bebe Lynch. And Miranda, God knows you need help.
Yeah, true.
But that aside, today, we're going to be chatting to two women.
Just apropos of nothing.
Nothing. But that aside, but assuming that's correct, today we're going to be talking to two women. And they have got the low and high down and sweet and dirty down on everything to do with sexual health, right? So that's Dominique Koretsos and Nadia Dean from the world's first sexual health and technology ecosystem, the Healthy Pleasure Group.
Ooh.
How about that?
I'm into it. I'm there.
Welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex. Dominique Koretsos, CEO and co-founder of the Healthy Pleasure Group, and Nadia Dean, co-founder and director of the Entomology School of Healthy Pleasure. Ladies,
Hello.
Are you feeling healthy and pleasured?
That's the question. I'm not sure if I'm feeling pleasured. I'm not particularly healthy either, no.
I would say that's such a great question, because we literally in our last team meeting had this conversation where we realized everyone was working 15, 16 hours a day. And we have now created this like pleasure pod reminder that everyone in the company needs to take time out for pleasure, whether it's solo pleasure. I mean, good luck trying to figure out an orgy in the middle of, you know, COVID. Mm-hmm. And then once a month we come together and we clothed, and then we come together and discuss anything that we've discovered new. So maybe like a new product, or maybe we read an interesting article or a piece of education, or maybe we've experienced a new or audioerotic. Because here's the thing, we currently talk a lot about sex, but potentially I'm not doing it.
Can I point out that we were in the middle of a meeting, or just beginning a meeting, and she literally just said, is everyone having great sex with someone, or at least with yourself? And it's like, I'm about to hit you with some figures and some numbers. Actually, I haven't prepared for that question.
I mean, here's a little, like, you know, we had a product, and I had decided that my partner was now going to be used as a guinea pig for this product. And it was, you know, a Tuesday morning. And when was the last time anyone else made pleasure on a Tuesday morning before your 9 o'clock meeting? And I'm never late for a meeting. And this time I was 10 minutes late, which I felt like I was working. And this was a really nice opportunity to tell the team, hey, guys, we're working 16, 17 hours a day to make lives different in, you know, and hopefully better in sexual health and wellness. But actually, who's rubbing their clit lately? I mean, this is a serious conversation we need to have.
Oh my God, my office meetings are about ordering post-its.
Oh, we did have those as well, but it came after.
That does make an interesting point, though, because we've spoken to, we speak to a lot of great sex experts, but coming together as a group and to actually sit down and say, well, have we had any pleasure recently? Have we done it ourselves recently? That's quite a, that breaks the ice, doesn't it? That is a massive fat penguin right there.
I think we're all quite good with like asking people questions, but I think, especially as we're a new company, it kind of sets the tone of the kind of company and the kind of way we want to work. And I don't think we can really talk about healthy pleasure and talk about sex and give all this great advice if we can't. You don't necessarily have to be having great sex, but you have to be able to have the conversation and address that maybe you're not having great sex with yourself or someone else.
Yeah. Can I ask something that could be controversial?
Okay.
Because you've never stopped you before. So yes. But this is really interesting what you're saying, because we'll talk like specifically what the Healthy Pleasure Group and Entomology School of Healthy Pleasure is in a sec. But
there was this on your press release, which I really like, and I think it's really interesting, but my question is going to come after it. So this is a quote from your press release. Through sexual wellness education, talks, workshops, and guided experiences, feel safe and seen whether you want to reshape with your sexual self or are taking the first crucial steps on your own journey to a healthy sexual identity. So explaining what the setup is about. Is that too cerebral? Are we making sex too in the mind rather than below the belt?
That's a great question. I don't think so, because the issue is predominantly we often put everything below the belt, things like performance, things like great sex, things like I must have an orgasm as a priority over the experience of pleasure and that the value that it brings to our lives, whether it's through mental health, biological, self-efficacy, self-esteem, whatever it might be. So I don't think so. I don't believe it. And that's not what we aim to do. The idea is, you know, Emily Nagoski, who is the author of Come As You Are, she's a neuroscientist and a doctor, philanthropist, said it best when she said there are as many sexualities as there are people. Our entry point into discovering our sexuality or acknowledging it or growing it or appreciating it is different for everyone. And it's dynamic. It's not linear. You know, it's not set in stone. It can't just be what's between the belly button and the knees. There's got to be an opportunity and an invitation to explore more. And whatever that looks like for you, it might just be trying a toy. It might be, you know, I want a masterclass on how to spark desire in my relationship after 30 years of marriage, or, you know, I've never actually looked in the mirror or discovered my clitoris. It could be anything.
And you've got to remember as well that a lot of times, well, most times sex actually starts in the mind. Your desire, it all starts from the mind. Whether you're capable of following through, that's a different question. So I don't think it's making it too, I think as someone would say, woo-woo to say it's, you know, feel safe and seen, whether it's the first crucial steps or on your journey, because we're all at different stages in our sexual journey. I've had a really great journey, but then it's been like a roller coaster. It's gone up and down. And I feel like I'm in the first steps. And a lot of that is me addressing things and thinking about why things sexually are the way they are for me. If it wasn't a mind thing, if it wasn't thinking about it, I don't think I could get to that next level that I want to get to if I'm just focusing on what's happening with my genitals or between my belly button and my knees. So
they're totally linked.
Yeah. I mean, except when you've had a baby and then it feels like someone stole your clitoris and then glued it to the back of your head and didn't tell you and said, go look for it, because you don't get a memo.
That's the NHS.
Your body parts. Yeah. Your body parts move and nobody decided to tell you, you know, so. Yeah, then it is definitely a case of, you know, hide and seek.
Tell us then about Healthy Pleasure Group, because this is new.
We were originally Healthy Pleasure Collective, and it was led by myself and a group of, you know, proven experts within the sexual health and technology, whether that was my co-founder, Dr. Maria, who was a urologist, whether it was a marketeer, a branding specialist, and so on. And we grew that and solidified it into Healthy Pleasure Group, which is powered by three companies. One is the agency, which is an end-to-end digital marketing and PR agency, as well as business development. So really, you can come to us with an idea on a, you know, we call it toilet paper entrepreneur. So you come together and say, hey, I've got an idea, kind of like your idea, Miranda.
Yes.
And we'll take you to market. Then we have the lab, which is where all our innovation sits. And it's led by Dr. Maria and Dr. Eduardo. And it could be anything from, you know, vulva masks for menopause to deal with thrush to, you know, wireless penile implants. It's really this incredible hub of innovation and knowledge and IP. And we just, you know, released a book called Erectile Dysfunction, It's a Woman's Issue. And then we, of course, have the school, which Nadia is both, you know, a co-founder of and the director of education. And that's the online and offline education platform. And so what happens is the value that we create in any one of those pillars is then transferred onto the brands that come into the company. And whether that is a brand that's coming to work with us, whether it's NGOs, whether it's investors, we really do infiltrate, kind of sound like ninjas, every part of the industry so that we can reshape what the future of sexual health and technology looks like. And we've done, interestingly enough, our largest amount of growth has actually been during the COVID period. And, you know, Nadia and I were chatting along with our other directors. You know, we've hired people and built teams in a virtual space without being able to physically, you know, connect or meet or, you know, discuss things until I think it was 3 months later when the lockdown was lifted and everyone arrived at my house for the first time having been let out. And it was like a bunch of, you know, spirit animals had joined us for a barbecue. And it's been a very interesting time because we've seen such enormous growth in the sex tech industry or sexual health industry during COVID. And we've just gone from strength to strength. And I'm very proud of that. And Nadia has, with her team, grown Entomology. And of course, Muffy with the lab and Jazz and Delia, myself with the agency. So we really are a well-structured ecosystem. And also we're the only ones, I don't know if it's because we're brave enough to do it, but we are the ones that have, you know, the first to be dedicated to, you know, sexual health and tech startups. So there's never a day that is the same, right, Nadia?
Like, you know. No, not at all. We're always working on something new or is a new idea, random things that are actually quite possible because there's no one else out there doing it and it will probably benefit people. But no, 100%, I think Dom said it brilliantly, is exactly what we are.
It's so nice to know there's something out there for people, because I think what a lot of people are very scared of is, how do I get this off the ground? I've had this brilliant idea, I know what I want to do, I know how it will help people like me or people who have been through my experience or something like that, but like very often we just don't even know where to start.
Yeah, I think if you remember the first time we chatted, I expressed that the industry is very polarized. You've got porn and you've got family planning, right? And our aim was to fill everything in between. So whether we're bringing education like a masterclass or you know, an ebook to help you with if your partner has erectile dysfunction, if it's bringing on a new client, for example, we've got a product that is called EXO that is developed and designed specifically for the trans community. Then it's an STI testing and sharing app called iPlaySafe, which has never been done before, because preventable healthcare, where you can validate your health status. If you had said safe and sex 6 months ago, people run out the room. But now we have to verify that health status just to mobilize across the economies, just to be able to travel, never mind to kiss or have sex with somebody. So really everything in between across those verticals, whether it's cosmetics, personal care, specific toys for communities that have been underserved and not acknowledged, right? Everything is in that sector and it comes through us. And we're very proud of that. And we take that very, very seriously.
I think it's also to do with having a place where you can have the conversations to even dare to maybe take the next step. So for example, when I met Dominique, I was trying to launch a product, a toy, which I still am going to do. But I had gone on business courses. I'd been a product designer. I've got, you know, come in competitions, number two. But there was no one there that could actually help me or tell me what the next steps were into entering like sex tech or sexual wellness, or, you know, how do I take this to market? Who do I speak to? Who do I trust? And just some of the difficulties that I may have found. So that's why I think it's really important to have what we're doing, because there's so many other smaller companies or people with really brilliant ideas that just need an industry or agency to really understand what it is that, you know, how to get from A to B. It's not there at the moment, apart from us.
Because you know what it's like. We can't just go and advertise about something. You can advertise about erectile dysfunction, but you can't advertise about a menstrual health cup. You can't put the amount of testing that Nadia has to do on Entomology for our advertising. We can't put, you know, nipples anywhere. We can't we even have lingerie brands that come to us because of such challenges within the digital market space, because these big giants, like the Facebook of the world, they want to just put, like, you know, it's like putting a nail in a coffin and just wanting to end our business. There's so many double standards, and the principles of marketing and communication it's not 101 principles. It doesn't apply in our space. And we see brands going on and spending, you know, hundreds of thousands in social media only to be shut down because it's not a platform that they own. Apple can shut them down in a heartbeat if it's an app. Social media can be hacked or shut down in a heartbeat. And there's money and hard-earned great ideas and solutions for us women and men and other communities, or communities, shall I say. And we just are completely shut down. And this navigating that is really tricky.
This is one of the things. Well, so a million, I mean, you don't know this. You don't remember, you haven't known me this long, but I used to have a career. And I used to, and one of my first columns was in a magazine called Ludus. And I wonder if you remember Ludus. It was the first sex magazine for women in the UK, maybe Europe. And it was, I actually spoke to the assistant editor last night. We were catching up, and one of the issues with it, well, one of the reasons why it wasn't successful, was. It had to be, this is back in the day, so it was print, it wasn't online. It had to be stocked on the top shelf in newsagents. Women can't reach the top shelf, like I was. And women don't want to be seen to be reaching the top shelf. And also, men weren't allowed to be shown with an erection. So the magazine...
But an erect penis looks just as pretty as a flaccid one.
Especially if you draw bows on it and stuff. But you weren't, so they weren't allowed to have erect penises. So the photos that women were being shown to show them that men, you know, to arouse women, to show them that men were aroused by the women or men, were flaccid penises. So part of what you're doing as well, if I'm correct, is you're trying to drive regulation as well.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, there is no regulation. It's just pure standards.
There's no rhyme or reason. You might, you know, if you're trying to do an ad, you might be approved one day and you might not be approved the next day, and it's the same thing, and there's nothing that's consistent.
So who's in charge of that?
Who knows?
No,
it's Miranda.
I think a lot of it is driven by Google, and I think Facebook and Instagram.
It's driven by algorithms, right? It's driven by algorithms, and algorithms are set by humans. And the majority of the tech industry, remember, only 17% of the tech industry seats are covered by women. The rest are men. And a good indication, when the equivalent of Siri, remember an iPhone, it wasn't Siri at the time, but Apple, this voice recognition had come out and you could ask it a question. If you asked it where the nearest adult store was or how to get a hold of a sex worker, it would be able to answer. But if you said to it, I've been raped, can you help me? Where do I go? The response would be, I cannot help you at this time, right?
Yeah.
So showing you the disparity between what happens when the majority of human input is determined and dictated by one narrative, and how that outcome hugely affects how the opposite, and I'm not just saying female and male here, but obviously it is majority of the time, how it then affects our lives. So it's okay for the algorithm to highlight Viagra or talk about a dissolvable erectile Viagra tablet under the tongue. But when you start to talk about a vibrator for pleasure for women, that is shut down.
Because we've also shut down. Yeah. There was also did we talk about this the last time you were with us, Dominic, where we were talking about a sex toy that was the won in robotics awards. It was in the same competition as loads of male sex toys who have won the same award, but because this one was for females, they said they couldn't win it.
There was that case, and then there was another one in January at the CES, and again, you know, you're sitting with, let me just say the elephant word here, the misogynistic, archaic, ridiculous perspective of what is good for one is not good for the other. And, you know, we need to remind the rest of the world, while 50.012% of the population has a vulva, right? Yeah. And then 65% of us make decisions when it comes to purchasing, and 41% of us between North America and Europe alone have control over what we spend our money on. And yet we still want to invest in product that serves only one part of the nation or of the globe. I mean, can we please move beyond this? It feels like we're stuck in the 18th century somewhere, but we are still dealing with it. And unless, you know, when there is a problem, we have to name it, much like we name feminism, much like we like sexism and gender gaps and equality gaps. And there are huge, it's not just an orgasm gap. It truly is almost like we're going through a pleasure famine where we really have to nurture people's minds and brains and lifestyles and healthy habits to realize the innate value that pleasure brings to your life, whether it's mental health even.
Yeah. Can I please ask three questions?
Yes. Hit me.
The first one is, who's your favourite, me or Miranda?
I knew it.
No. A quick question. When you said earlier that there's been more development going on during COVID, is that how you described it? What's that? Because is that because people have been wanting more sex, or people's libidos have gone, as they've been questioning why they haven't had more sex, or because people have had time to explore this?
Mm-hmm. I think we saw, as our brands, we saw sales, you know, 5x, 10x, 3x in sales. And we did a few surveys as well internally, and we discovered that it wasn't necessarily people were having more or less sex, but people were definitely investigating and investing more in their sex care. I mean, if you think about it, it's like Mother Nature sent us to our room and said, you need to think about yourself and your health, right? Like, go wank
that
and have better perspective, right? Funny that you enjoyed it. I mean, we are in front of our screens. We are not having to be somewhere. And those who are privileged enough to have a roof over our head, to be furloughed, because we don't want to dismiss those who ultimately have gone through so much loss. But those who have been privileged enough to have that space to be sent to their room and wank and go, you know what? I actually want to take time and talk to my partner about, maybe, you know, he has premature ejaculation, or the fact that I've never really come with him, but I can come on my own. You know, I know that's a big topic. Nadia deals with it, you know, with a lot of our audience with entomology. So I think it's a combination of that sex care is included in self-care, being locked up and having the time and the privilege to do it. And also the idea that in the forefront of our mind, preventable healthcare is now a hot topic and in front of us. The veil has been lifted. And in that preventable healthcare, it's how do I take care of myself in the future? You know, what are the things that I can learn from this? And sex is one of them. You know, it's recession-proof and COVID-proof. What can I say?
Can I please ask question number two? Everything that HPG, as I'm casually calling it, is trying to change or address. Surely those things are changing anyway.
Yes. I mean, Nadia is more in front of the everyday human being, right? I sometimes get lost. I get stuck in the vortex of everything that's not moving because we're constantly dealing with the challenges of brands. So, Nadia, what do you think? Because I have my own intuition, but Nadia is the one that's talking to the heartbeats.
Things are changing on a consumer level or on a personal level. So people, like you were saying, with lockdown, people maybe have more time to think about what it is that they want out of their, you know, their well-being. I think there's lots of conversations happening. There's lots of, I mean, we shouldn't really, as you were saying, be invested so much into these platforms like Instagram because they could be taken away. I've been following people that their platforms have just been just gone. But there are a lot of really interesting people and conversations happening, and people being really honest. And I think that's the one thing that I've seen, not even during lockdown, I think maybe in the last few years, is a lot of honesty and people sharing their own personal stories as a way to help other people. So yeah, definitely there's things changing, but there's still a lot more to go. And if I think it takes a while. So it's like the people are waking up and it's now for time for the bigger brands and the people that are controlling and regulating to kind of take stock of what's happening. People are wanting more, they're experiencing more things. It's for them to kind of follow in from that. So from a consumer point of view, definitely there are conversations happening. I think there's a lot more work to do. There's a lot more. I mean, I really want to do a course or an event where we just really dig into the different genders and sexualities. And, you know, because as an adult, I'm still kind of confused with, you know, okay, so what's the difference between, you know, this gender or, you know, or that person? And I feel really embarrassed about that. But we want to create a space where it's quite safe for you to ask these questions. So I do think the questioning and opening up is changing, but I don't necessarily see it as much with the regulating personally.
Yeah. I think from the industry, from the industry, you will see the touch points have changed. In other words, where we can buy our condom now is, on Cult Beauty, for example, which is where we buy a cosmetic. Boots has sexual wellness categories. Those places, they have really opened up and allowed us to have these conversations, as Nadia says, which has then in turn educated the customer to become far more sophisticated in saying, hey, I don't want to just use a toxic, tampon. I want another option. I want maybe a menstrual cup, or I want a sanitary towel, or I want lingerie that, you know, is great for menstrual health and things like that. So there is a massive amounts of innovation going on and loads of change, but totally agree with Nadia. We are nowhere near where we need to be.
Yeah. I'm going to ask my final question, then I'm going to allow Miranda Kane to ask 1.5 questions.
Thank you.
No, but I don't trust her. I don't know where it goes. So I'm going
She's
quite right. I am quite right. I know. The kind of mission statement, I guess the umbrella mission statement for HPG and the school especially, is join us to discover, learn and understand your deepest human pursuit, pleasure. Is that the deepest human pursuit? Is pleasure that important?
Prove me wrong.
I do not like your attitude.
So, but maybe you can, because I'm just wondering, so what is the difference between the relationship between the school of between the Healthy Pleasure Group and the Entomology?
So the Entomology is our school. So the Entomology is an online and offline learning platform for sex education, right? And that's where you go to
for adult sex education.
Thank you very much. So that's where you go to discover new products, to talk to experts, to book masterclasses on, for example, how to reshape your intimacy where penetration is not the only form of pleasure. It's where you go to learn about menopause and, you know, everything to do with sexuality. The lab is where we make products for other brands, right? And the agency is where we take the brands to the market. And what we find is the school originally was an offline platform. So physical events that you would come to. And we had a great one just before COVID where we were doing a talk about sex and endometriosis. Because endometriosis is a very big topic. Over 1.5 million women suffer from it in the UK alone. We know very little about it and we do even less about it. So being able to talk to experts, talk to real life survivors who've gone through endometriosis, gone through surgeries, how to deal with it, the side effects of endometriosis, things like painful sex. What products do I use? How do I get past that? How do I build an intimate relationship? How do I feel better about my body? With COVID, it meant that we had to take that from the stage to online, just like any other company, we had to pivot. And we will go back to, you know, retreats and you know, physical events.
Yeah, and I think having it online has actually allowed us to reach more people in a way that having physical events is quite limiting, because obviously, you know, it's dependent on locations. But like you were saying, endometriosis, there's so many women in the world who suffer from that. And the amount of comments that we got, or DMs, you know, I'm suffering from this, thank you for doing this, from people across the globe. And another example would be we did our own survey. Yeah, we did Trump. So for Masturbation Month, if people didn't know, May's Masturbation Month, we decided to look at bodies or people that are often left out of the conversation with masturbation. So we were looking at, you know, trans. So yeah, I've got a new body now. I used to have a penis, now I have a vulva. What do I do with it? How do I masturbate? Yeah. No one really talks about this, but we're all slightly curious. And where do you go to learn these things? Or what about people who have limited mobility? That was a really massive eye-opener for me, because there was just things that as an able-bodied person I wouldn't even have to consider. I doubt anybody here would have to consider. So it's definitely having those conversations. But as I was saying, I just think that having it offline and having live events is really good because people do still want to connect with other people. I find that just me talking about my personal experiences, people gravitate towards me and, you know, it's like, oh my God, that happened to me too. And that's a really nice community kind of feel. But at the same time, having something online that is easily accessible, discreet, you might not be in a position where you could openly ask these questions or discover these things and being able to have the opportunity. So I think with entomology, look, I know with entomology, we're more of the customer face. We're more of the, I know, what do you say, Dom, that the humanistic side?
The heartbeat. Human-centric.
We're the human-centric. So we deal with like people first, whereas with the lab, it's much more about innovation and the newest things and, you know, creating great new products. And the agency is really about developing brands and, you know, maybe changing brands from the inside. So, you know, like you were saying with the whole regulation thing, so maybe doing it for ourselves from the inside out. So it's the three different things, but we're all interrelated and it kind of, we all lean on each other. So if entomology is doing well, or if we're talking about something with entomology, it definitely affects the lab and the agency and vice versa.
I'm going to allow Miranda one last question and then I'm going to...
I'm looking at the website because I've just found a bit where you've got a partnership with Sex and the Spine and I'm like, oh, that's what I need.
that is extremely interesting. So we partnered up with... so the website you're looking at is the entomology website, I think. With the Healthy Pleasure Group is under reconstruction. But the Sex and the Spine is founded by two renowned spinal surgeons. But also, most people... 9 out of 10 people that have back issues, and it doesn't have to be as extreme as needing surgery or compact discs or whatever the case might be, experience difficulty in pleasure. And often, and most cases, your practitioner or your GP or maybe even, I don't know, who's the guy who cracks your neck, is never, ever going to ask you the question,
Sweeney Todd,
how is your sex life? Like, you know, are you having orgasms? Is this working for you? Because it's never, ever related. But here's the thing. Between your lower back, and I'm sure that, you know, how the spinal discs have a whole lot of numbers and Sex and Spine would be able to answer this, but there's a whole lot of neurons there, and they are responsible for sending the sensory message to your brain and your genitals that, woohoo, this is fun. So it makes sense that if you have a back issue or a spinal issue, there is often an issue in intimacy and receiving or experiencing pleasure. Those that have had back operations often lose sensory around the genital area. And so they have to rediscover and relearn how to experience pleasure. It's almost
and
better
pleasure
having
is really important. And
birth.
Pleasure is really important, Dominique.
It is.
It is. It's the deepest human pursuit.
Prove me wrong, because I prove me wrong.
Listen, I'm sort of on Maslow's. What is it? Maslow's hierarchy.
Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
I'm sure it's at the bottom as well. Somewhere. Yeah.
Listen, you two, tell us how people can find out more and get involved.
Get involved with the entomology. So definitely, I think we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on theentomology.com.
Facebook and, as well. We're running a Facebook. Really great competition. At the moment, I'm not sure when this is released.
I think you should enter.
So I'm not sure when this is going to be released, but we're having a competition about erotic expression. So express yourself erotically through... like written word, performance, or I would say orally, but
by word.
There are some regulations that we have to follow. And win up to, it's up to £1,000 now, up to £1,000 worth of prizes. Really good ones. And
I'm going to do it through Button Soup.
Yeah. I think, BB, you should do like your own version of that whispering ASMR. Read us your testimony.
Because I know how much you love it.
Let it go, lady. and people can find out more about the Healthy Pleasure Group.
We are hpg.com or my name on LinkedIn, because I know Miranda's going to check in when she remembers that great innovation she's about to launch. All I can remember, Miranda, is that it was a really great idea, and then Bibi said something about her father should not know about it. I don't remember.
don't bring bring my dad into this? Jesus Christ.
He lives to derail me. I will come up with a cure for cancer one day and she'll just turn around and go, but am I your favourite though? And that'll be gone. Don't worry, she like, well, there goes my cure for brain cancer. Thank you.
You know what's good? You know what's good for brain? You know what's good to help with the brain? Not necessarily cancer, but for brain. Pleasure.
Oh,
sucks. Bibi, I'm going to spam your inbox with so many medical reports. You're going to regret ever asking me that question.
Spam this, lady.
And then I'm going to send you every possible toy and you tell me whether or not pleasure doesn't count.
No, listen, I think it does. I tell you why I asked that, because it feels, I think we're conditioned to think that's a selfish pursuit.
Are you very right? We have never been given the social permission to say pleasure is your right.
I think if we drum it into Bibi enough, then every time someone thanks her for opening the door and she turns around and says pleasure, she's going to get a little bit tricky in the knickers.
Oh my God. Seriously, I thought this was going to be about architecture and literature. I have no idea what happened in this podcast. I don't know what I signed up for. Dominique, Nadia, it's been absolute joy speaking to you again.
Thank you so much for having us.
Likewise. Thank you very much for having us again.
And can you never bother us again, please?
I'll find you on Twitter, Bibi.
Dominic, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye, ladies.
Miranda?
Yeah.
What did you learn?
Do you know what? I learned that there is a possibility out there. Like I'm always a bit of an entrepreneur and I'm always thinking of different things. And it's so nice to see that there are people like Dominique, who's a, you know, she describes herself as a disruptor. And it's so nice to see that there's this like collective and this group that are there to, you know, to guide you. And they're not, it's not about like, oh, we just like make loads of money out of this, you know, sex toy or whatever. It's like an actual sort of mentorship in a way. Yeah. And then, and it was just nice to know that sort of thing is there for anyone who has an idea, and you don't have to come from a privileged background. You don't have to have loads of money. You can just, if you've just got a good idea, you can go to her and say, you know, what do you think? How about
and
you?
Following on from that, I loved as well how Nadia, she fronts the entomology school and as Dominique described it, as the heartbeat of the health and pleasure group. So yeah, you can have the ideas and yeah, you can develop it and you can advertise it and push it and, you know, try to get it to brands and stuff or out there from brands. Yeah. But it's about people at the end of the day.
And
people's and what people need and people want dictates the rest of it. So it kind of works backwards, which I love. So I thought it was super interesting. I didn't ask about the there's a penis thing they have, wireless penis implants. Next time.
The thing that I got from that though was that the main thing was it was such a pleasure.
Hang on.
A little jingle. My name's Miranda. My name's Miranda Kane.
I'm Bibi Lynch.
Good Sex Bad Sex was produced by Juliet Nichols from metro.co.uk.
And we're everywhere. Where are we? We're Sex Bad Sex on Twitter, Sex with three X's. We're on Instagram.
Good Sex Bad Sex. And if you've got a sexy question or a query, or you want to be on the show, if you've got something to do with sex and relationships, then you can get in touch with us. info@sexpod.co.uk.
Gosh, I love how you say that.
Thank you.
Hey, Miri.
Hey, Bibi.
See you next week.
Pleasure.